Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and the show is Going Beyond Medicine. And the emphasis of the show is to bring together to the airways individuals that are making a difference in the world, or those that are opening up our hearts and our minds and our ways that we view things, so that we really see ourselves as whole and complete, so that we can get over a lot of the hurdles that we see perceived, that we perceive as challenges in our lives. And my guest today is an incredible example of living with what can be perceived as a challenge and see the beauty within that. My guest is Tani Cullen, and she is the author of Josiah's Fire: Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice. So welcome to the show, Tani.
Thanks so much for having me.
So could you please tell us a little bit about Josiah, who is your son, and how this all transpired in your life, if you would please?
Sure, I'll do the small version. Josiah is now 12 years old, and my husband and I had been married for about 8 years, and we decided, maybe it's time that we should start a family. And so, we were at a place where we just wanted to make a lot of great decisions for our lives. We were gainfully employed. We moved from a townhouse into a single family home. We just did all the things that we thought we should do to make life go well for us and our family. And we had Josiah, and he was a healthy baby boy, which was wonderful. And life was good, a few little bumps along the way, but Josiah was healthy and happy and sociable, and life was good, and it was normal, and normal was good.
Yes.
But then around 22 months old, Josiah, it seemed like just very quickly, began to lose words that he had, words like mama and dada and nana. He stopped playing with his toys appropriately. He would just spin and turn light switches on and off, spin the wheels of his cars. And he stopped responding to his name. We were losing eye contact with him, and he had met all of his medical milestones up to that point. He had been in daycare, doing well with the other kids. And it just seemed like over about 3 weeks period of time, we were losing him.
Wow.
And we had no good explanation, and we were terrified. And so, we mobilized right away. And about 4 months of tests later, we found ourselves sitting around a table in a doctor's office with doctors around the table. And they gave us a folder that on top it said Autism Spectrum Disorder.
Oh,
by
gosh.
That time, we already knew in our heart that's what it was. But it was very official that day. And I remember opening up the pamphlet. And it said, Autism Spectrum Disorder, no known cause, no known cure, lifelong.
Oh, gosh.
And it felt like that day that like a gavel came down on my two-year-old son's life and on our lives and our dreams. And as a mother, as a lover of Jesus, the cry that just, deepest cry that came from my heart was, God, where is hope when there is no hope? I don't even know quite how to do this or what to even do from here. And so that really spun me and, of course, my husband into quite a journey where, when one thing happens in your life that is the flames are high,
yes.
it spills over into other parts in your life. Your finances, your relationships, your work, your emotional wellness, and your spiritual life.
Absolutely.
And so in those early days of autism, I just felt like, okay, I need to follow after hope. It's all I know what to do. And so I just, as I began my journey, I kind of started blogging through the emotional parts of it, the emotional and spiritual ups and downs. And so that was part one of our journey, which will later bring us through several years of of therapy with Josiah and up to a real turning point.
You know what? Thank you for sharing that, because as a mother and as a grandmother myself, you know, I could not stop crying. I actually a couple times had to pull over because I was listening to your audiobook when I first learned of your story, and I just could feel the intensity of that fear. And of course, when you're confronted with a challenge that it is so mysterious to us. Mm-hmm. How does this happen? Why does this happen? How does this healthy, seemingly healthy child all of a sudden disappear? Essentially, physically, yeah. He's there, but his personality is gone. So, as you say in your beautiful website, that it's interesting that you chose the name Josiah. Can mm-hmm. you please tell us what the name Josiah means?
Yes, Josiah means fire of the Lord.
So, boy, did you ever choose the right name for that little peanut?
You knew, I guess.
Yes, yes. So it took quite a while before you started to see any change. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, so, you know, we got Josiah into 40 hours of therapy a week. We did as many alternative treatments as we could. You know, the medical field doesn't have a whole lot to provide
yes.
for something like this. So we did, you know, some alternative stuff and special diets and the whole bit. We just threw everything we could into it. And so sadly at age 5, we got an addendum to autism spectrum disorder. And that was that he was low functioning, that he was nonverbal, and that he was severe, and that he would likely be one of the 40% of people with autism who might never speak.
Oh, my.
And so there we were again at a major milestone where, you know, obviously everything in us wanted to get him to a place where, you know, let's mobilize super quickly so that maybe he could be mainstream one day or whatever would help him succeed.
Right.
And there we were going, now what? It's like another sentence, you know?
Yes.
And I remember especially we had gone through an autism orientation class early on, and they talked about how 80% of parents who have children with a chronic disease or illness or disorder will themselves experience what's called chronic sorrow.
Yes. Yes,
and, you know, that's just cycles of grief that you can kind of go in and out of. And I totally, like, I understood that. Like, I make no light of that because it's true. I mean, you can really from season to season, it's like you can have ups, you can have downs, and you can have cycles of grief. But one of the things that I just remember, I said, God, you know, I got to know how to do this. I got to know how to do this in a way that is more like you, because that's not me to be a sorrowful person.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean that I'm going to have to, that's what I have to look forward to, that autism gets to dictate our lives?
Right.
that gets to win.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting because, you know, at 5 years old, here we have a nonverbal child. So fast forward, I end up watching a documentary called A Mother's Courage. And in this documentary, I see a little portion of it. There are kids a lot like Josiah that are in that very severe category that are learning how to be educated and how to spell by pointing at letters on a letterboard.
Yes.
And they're in there, and they're intelligent, and they're being unlocked. And I'm like, I have to learn about this method. And so I took Josiah to a place about 4.5 hours away where someone had apprenticed under this woman who came up with this particular method. And it was there that it was the first step to seeing that he was in there. He was showing that he was listening well. And one of the things that she said was, assume age-level intelligence. Do you know what that did? That changed me.
Oh, I can only imagine.
That changed the way that I looked at him, the way that my husband and I spoke to him. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we had been taught up to that point, like, strip as many words out of the English language as you can when you're talking to him. You know, I, you know, want cookie, touch red block, you know. And it's amazing because when you don't have that feedback back, you end up like you don't talk as much to your child.
Right.
There's lots of silence. Well, one of the things that she said is, you know, actually, I see that he's an auditory learner. You need to speak to him as if he's blind. Like, over detail what's happening. When you're walking along and you see a tree, talk about that tree and talk about the veins on the tree, on the leaves of the tree, and talk about photosynthesis and all these different things. Well, I just started coming alive because, you know, even if I couldn't get the relationship back from him, I started reaching out in more relationship to him. Just knowing that it was going in there.
I can only,
and he was showing that.
I can only imagine, just listening to your voice, the enthusiasm that you have naturally in your person. You know, it's just, I can only imagine you must have been just so overjoyed to, instead of reducing his vocabulary, you were encouraged to exponentially raise his vocabulary.
Exactly. My perspective started to change, and all of a sudden there were things that started opening up, and we started doing things that we loved again, instead of everything being so hard and so, like, you know, you have to do all these therapies, and when he's at home, you got to do all these therapies and all these stuff. We just started dreaming again.
Yeah. Because those therapies can be like a punishment almost.
Well, it can just consume all parts.
Exactly.
And you're
no
evaluating
joy.
Everything.
Yes.
Instead of naturally interacting and stuff like that. So fast forward about a year later, you know, I bring him home and I'm doing this method. And of course, when you get home and you're doing it with your parents, it's it looks a bit more messy. Like,
sure.
You know, the movie The Miracle Worker with Helen Keller, there's a breakfast scene where, you know, her therapist, Andy Sullivan, is working with her, and she is like dragging her back into the chair,
That's
getting
right.
her out from under the table, you know, all these things.
Nothing delicate there.
It was about as comical as that, honestly. Mm-hmm. But then a year later, after we had begun this little journey with this method, Josiah did something amazing, and it changed our lives forever.
Well, that's what I'd like for you to share with us now. What did he do?
So he and I were sitting at the table one night doing a lesson, and we were reading out of the children's Bible. And so you kind of read a lesson, and then it's kind of a teach-ask method. So I read him about how Jesus healed the blind man. Mm-hmm. And so I said, Josiah, Jesus healed the blind man. What did Jesus do? Did he H-E-A-L heal the blind man? Or did he P-L-A-Y play with the blind man? You write that on a sheet of paper, rip the paper in half, tap on heal, tap on play. He chose the paper that said heal appropriately. And I said, okay, let's spell heal. And we both had these letter boards and his iPad. I had, there was a app that has the alphabet in alphabetical orientation in big squares. Mm-hmm. So I had that up on the iPad, so we were kind of using that as well. And so I said, let's spell heal. And he presses G. I'm like, oh, he's missing it. Then he presses O. I'm like, go? He goes on to spell his first ever independent sentence. He has never spelled more than a 4 or 5 letter word. God is a good gift giver.
Wow. Tani, please let me reintroduce you. My guest today is Tani Cullen, who is the author and the mother of a very special, precious boy named Josiah. The book is called Josiah's Fire. Autism stole his words. God gave him a voice. So she's describing the experience as so many people seem to just have this increasing number of children with this mysterious challenge called autism. And you found that Josiah wasn't lost in there. He was actually thriving in there.
Yes, there's a bright inner world that we didn't know about.
Mm. Wow.
And there was this moment, and I can honestly say it was a moment of breakthrough. There was something very sacred in the moment. Something happened, you know, after all those years, after all those prayers, after all the work, after all the pleading, something happened. And on the journey of autism, it literally is like a hairball.
Yes.
It's up and down and steps forward and regression and all of these things. And in this moment, I thought, am I on candid camera? Is this a joke? Have I cracked? Did this really happen? I'm like, Josiah, yes, God is a good gift giver, but how do you know that? He goes on to spell, and mind you, no punctuation, no spaces, you know, he's just spelling this out. God is very capable.
Oh, my goodness.
And wow. And it was from
I am just
there.
Covered in shivers, and Remy is too. I mean, we're both kind of got tears in our eyes. I mean, I can only imagine the jubilation and the euphoria you must have felt in that moment.
Honestly, at that moment, I thought he was being healed.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's interesting because at the time I'm thinking, oh my goodness, he is literally being healed right now of autism. Now that's not what happened, but that's what I was feeling like. This is just starting to open up. Yeah. And so, of course, I start asking him everything I've always wanted to know. You know, what's your favorite color? What do you like to do the most? What's your favorite cartoon character? And just start to get to know my son.
Wow.
And he and you know, his dad and I get to know him. And but then things start getting so strange because he starts communicating things that he's never been taught.
Mm.
And it's like, how does he know this? And then he starts coming out with these amazing, like, wisdom words, like, faith is believing for kites to fly when there's no wind in sight.
Oh, my goodness.
Or faith is picture it done. Like, that's the best description of faith I've ever heard.
Yes.
You know, he starts talking. He starts, when I say talking, he starts typing and communicating about these things. And then I'm starting to put together, like, he's explaining things of heaven somehow.
Mm.
And it just keeps getting stranger and stranger. And I'm trying to figure out what is he experiencing. This is not on my grid. This is not something that I have vocabulary for at the time.
Right.
And of course, you know, this many years later, I have vocabulary, you know, in hindsight. But at the time, I'm just going, what is going on? And this is stranger than fiction. Is anybody going to believe me?
You know, what's so amazing to me as you're speaking, Tani, and my guest is Tani Cullen, the mother of Josiah and the author of Josiah's Fire, Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him His Voice. Is that, you know, we as human beings have a very prescribed band of awareness, if you can use that term.
Yes.
Like, and really, he wasn't broken. I mean, there was nothing to cure other than to learn his language and to help know that there's so many ways of communication. We have such a limited belief that A, B, C, and D is the only way to communicate. And so much more is going on that God is in charge of that we have no clue about.
That is so true. And that is something that over time that I have really started to, that's really changed me.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I look at him, the way that I honor him, the way that I try to help get out the gifts that I know are inside of him.
Mm.
And really, I have had to kind of throw away a lot or unlearn a lot of my boxes, because we certainly do live in a world where, you know, so many graphs and charts are put before us of progress or lack thereof.
Right.
You know, our lives are filled with paper and IEP reports, and meetings and, you know, educational planning meetings and all of these things that track. But you know what? There are gifts inside every person, no matter how much on the outside, it looks like they're comprehending or what they're able to give or whatever. I am completely and utterly convinced that there are gifts inside of every person. And it's amazing because our story has even helped those that have children that are in bed and unable to see or unable to hear or unable to walk. Mm-hmm. And for them to know, hey, if you are speaking into their spirits, they will know it.
Yes, because what is so important is that if we really understand that we are spirit.
Yes.
Long before we're in a body.
Absolutely.
And we will, when we leave this earthly plane, we return to that full realm of spirit with no matter in the way, you know, that we,
yes,
our matter matters when we matter. You know, so that, you know, the heart of the matter is what matters. And so I love what you just said, Tani, is that when you speak to a spirit, you know, there's languages that are so far beyond our comprehension. We have no idea how a tree is communicating with the living earth or how the air that we breathe is communicating with our body. There's such sophistication. We need to get smarter.
I realized how dull my senses were, my spiritual senses were. And Josiah, what he's done over these years of being able to communicate has helped me very much open up my awareness, open up my heart, break down a lot of stereotypes that I had that I didn't even realize I had built up, really caused me to question my paradigms. And I just realized that there is so much worth in every person. And yet how we ascribe worth is so narrow.
Yes.
And how we ascribe intelligence is so narrow.
It's actually quite brutal.
It is. It's actually brutal. Mm-hmm. And it's so against how God sees us.
Yes.
And how God gifts us. And I'm just amazed, you know, as we had put out our book, I didn't realize this until people started hearing about our story. And there were at least a dozen people from around the world that have contacted me that said, your story is our story. The same thing has happened with our child who's nonverbal. He learned to communicate. He's very spiritual. He's very wise. And this is our story too. It's not just a one-off kind of deal.
That's right.
It made me realize this is happening far more. And there are a lot of kids out there that they're just, and adults, they're just yet unlocked. It's in them.
Yes. And it gives us such a beautiful awareness. Like I was talking to somebody the other day, Tani, about how the phenomenon of scientists globally across the planet in different continents come up with the same idea simultaneously. God has already got it out there.
Yes.
It's when we're ready and we're receptive to receive it, and we don't even know what that mechanism is, it starts to like pop up like springtime, if you would. You know, everything starts to come through the surface so that we can appreciate what's already existing. We just couldn't see it because it was quote unquote not unearthed yet.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And I think that, you know, the adult writings of Helen Keller are
so
really
profound.
Worth revisiting for people. You know, a lot of us just know of her as, you know, the child when she first was encountered by Annie Sullivan. But wow, the way that she describes the inner workings of her mind, this is someone who's completely stripped of most of the outward senses.
Mm-hmm.
And yet what's inside of her mind.
Yes.
Is able to see mountains,
yes,
and rivers and experience God and have a full and prosperous, amazing life. And I think that we have really hurt our children by thinking that they're not going to be able to have good lives and that we're not going to be able to have good lives, that it's just going to be the lowest common denominator and survive every day. And then, you know, it's like you know, try to come up with mundane activities to fill the hours.
Right.
And, you know, from one kind of tragedy to the next.
Yes.
I say no. You know, there's a Bible verse in Isaiah that says the people are pillaged and plundered. Is there anybody who will cry out, restore?
Mm.
And if that is one thing that I would want to give to this world, is I would say, restore. Restore these families.
Yes.
Restore these children. Restore relationships. Restore dreams again.
Yes. I think
it's not fair.
That's
right. It's not fair for a label to come down and determine what the rest of your life is going to be.
That's right. My guest today is Tani Collins. She's the author of Josiah's Fire, Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him His Voice. We're going to take a real quick break, Tani, and we're going to come, when we come back, I would love to ask you about how you knew that these beautiful words and this incredible beauty and wisdom that he was able to share with you, how you knew it came from God and the other beautiful beings of divine love and light that were sharing information with him. If you'll hold on just a moment, we're going to take a few minutes break for some commercial break, and we will be right back. My guest is Tani Collins. I'm Elaine Grohman. I'm Going Beyond Medicine on Power Radio. Please stay with us.
Meditation Channel. Non-stop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone. They're gone.
You're kidding.
Nope, they're gone. They're gone, gone.
Okay, all right. Think about it. Where did you have them last?
I remember I was home, then I took them, and then I spent them on that vacation to Aruba. Then I bought this miniature suit of armor I saw in the in-flight magazine.
And that's the last you saw of your savings?
Yes.
This is so weird.
I know, right?
Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. You'd be surprised how quickly a little money from every paycheck can really add up. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
The armor is cool, though. Oops. I think I broke its gauntlet.
You broke my favorite part.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting.
As you're getting chewed out by
your parents. Why would you do it while driving?
On what
NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text. And together, we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
Empowering you for a better life.
This is Empower Radio.
Now back to Elaine Grohman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to the show. My guest today is Tani Cullen, who is the author and the mother of an amazing young boy called Josiah. And her book is called Josiah's Fire: Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him His Voice. Thank you. And welcome back to the show, Tani.
Thank you.
Can you please tell us how you knew that the words that Josiah was able to type on your iPad, how did you know that where they were coming from? And oh my goodness, what was he able to share with you?
Well, first of all, he began to talk about things that he had no access to in this present world. Okay. And so that, of course, is like, you know, as a mom, I'm going, okay, I know what he's listening to. I know what he's like. There, how would he know any of this? He would start talking about angels. He would bring up things about past family members that he had never met. He started describing things of heaven somehow, and you know, in those early days, it's like his language was kind of immature. It was amazing the words that he was able to spell very clearly. Like one time I said, Josiah, how are you doing this? I mean, how is this happening to us? And he types, Jesus taught me the order of sounds.
Oh my goodness.
And I was like, Jesus gave you Hooked on Phonics or something? You know, with every discovery, I'm kind of like, my jaw is dropping. Mm. But I'm trying to paste this together going, he's not had an out-of-body experience. I mean, you know, he's not had a near-death experience. Like, what is going on here? And so one day I asked Josiah, can you just like fill in the blank for me here? My favorite place in heaven is, and he goes on to write his first poem ever. He writes, my favorite place in heaven is over peaceful waters. Peace is real. Tired souls naturally test peace. Roses are so stunning. Worship the king. Sing loud to the prized pardon who requires praise. Angels taste of his holiness. Ordained great attitude of praise. Help us worship the Lord together, please him. All you hail the king of majesty forever. Make a noise to the king on the throne.
Oh.
All I know is I don't know how anybody can explain that without having experienced it.
Yes.
And that, it just continued and continued from there. And then he would know things about people that we didn't know, that he couldn't know. And so there were all of these things that just kept coming and coming and coming. And then there would be insights and wisdom that was so profound. And what was amazing about it is every word he's ever written is saved in an iPad, you know, so verbatim. And so, you know, page after page after page. And it's not that he only, you know, will type about spiritual things, you know. It's also like, hey, I want some pizza and I liked that movie, you know. And he's a typical kid in a lot of ways where it's like he'll be in the middle of something extremely profound and I'm like, finish it, and he bounces up and has to you know, get some chicken or something out of the fridge, you know. It's crazy how actually very mundane life really is, and yet there's this spiritual and inner world that's happening that is very real and supportive and assisting to his confidence, his self-esteem, his identity, his love of poetry. I mean, this kid, probably his first language is poetry. So sometimes when he's having a hard time describing something, I'll have to say, can you just write it in a poem or something? And that's, he's very lyrical in the way that he writes, or poetic. It's a different cadence. I think those who have encountered other kids like him, it's amazing because they have the same type of structure to their sentences. And it's very different than how we normally would speak.
Well, what's so beautiful about, as you're saying that, Tanya, and I guess my guest is Tanya Cullen, the author of Josiah's Fire, is that poetry is a beautiful reduction, if you will, of superfluous words that create almost a magical, imaginative space within us so that we can actually see what's being offered to us. You know, sometimes we get so wordy in our own language that if we could just put it down to a few stanzas or a few lines of prose, there's so much more beauty to it.
And so much depth and imagery.
Yes.
That comes out and is able to, express. And yet here we are in this day and age, and, you know, even compared to, say, the 1960s and before that, today poetry is not embraced that much. Mm-hmm. It's not very popular. Mm-hmm. You know, we like our, 140 character sound bites.
Right.
But poetry does have this depth. There's kind of an anointing on it.
Exactly.
And
there's a sophistication.
That is something that Josiah, we continue to put on Josiah's Fire. It's his Facebook page.
Thank you.
That he wanted to have, and I didn't even know he knew what Facebook was years ago. And so almost, daily we share some of his quotes or his poetry. One from just yesterday was, if a snapshot is what you want, just ask life to really pose. If a way is what you want, join your sight to a wayfinder, not a viewfinder.
Wow.
And
how powerful is that?
All sorts of stuff like that.
So Tani, can I ask you, please, as Josiah was able to share with you that he was talking with deceased loved ones and he was aware of different things about people's lives, etc., how was it when you knew that he was talking to God and he was talking to angels and he was talking to Jesus? And if I'm not mistaken, in the book, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me at the moment, because it's an audio book that I was listening to,
but
you said that Jesus said to Josiah that there would be a cure or there would be an opening. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Right. Can you tell me what was spoken, please?
He talked about an age of healing.
Age of healing. Beautiful.
An age of healing. And what that looks like, I don't know for sure. But there would be an age of healing and that there would be a cure for autism. I've had people say to me, but what if, he no longer has all these other abilities if he doesn't have autism? And I think what's so interesting in our story, the way that we see it and the way Josiah sees it isn't necessarily how everybody sees it, but this is what's interesting to me. Josiah has said these words, look at me as artistic, not autistic.
Mm.
And there's a scripture in the Bible that I really cling to, and it says, the call and gifts of God are irrevocable. And so there are these gifts that I really believe these children, these people have, that are in them regardless.
And I think that what's so beautiful as you're saying that is we have to recognize, we ought to recognize that those gifts are within us too. The seemingly quote unquote normal people.
Absolutely. And I think that we don't make a lot of place in society for different expressions of what that looks like. So, we say that's abnormal, or we slap all sorts of labels on things if a person doesn't learn the same way or express the same way or, look the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think part of that is God, our creator, is saying, you need to open up what you think is normal.
Yes.
You need to open up what you think is worthy.
Yes.
Because we have created a lot of labels.
Absolutely.
And also, let's be honest, anything that has to do with spirit, and if someone is hearing, spiritual voices and all of those things, there's a fear that it's like, oh, that's a mental illness.
No.
And I think
probably
that it's
God.
Important, it's important to differentiate between what that looks like as well. Not
yes.
that that can't happen and not that that doesn't happen.
Right.
But what is being helpful and aiding life and regulating life and bringing peace and calm into life?
Mm-hmm.
And what is harmful?
Again, my guest is Tani Cullen. She is the author of Josiah's Fire. Josiah's Fire is about her son, Josiah. And the subtitle is Autism Stole His Words, God Gave Him a Voice. And what's so beautiful about what you're talking about, and I often say to people that I'm working with, is we have to readjust, as you just said, Tani, the word normal. What we perceive as normal is actually common. So common and normal are not the same thing. So if something happens and we become accustomed to it, we might think that that is normal, but it is not wholesome. It's not what God created, but it might be common in our experience. So then we think it is the norm. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And, you know, vocabulary is what I realize is across experiences, we don't have a lot of common vocabulary. So people feel like they're alone and isolated in their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I've had to do with Josiah is just ask a lot of open-ended questions. I've learned even in talking with other people that maybe aren't from my same faith background, maybe aren't from my same cultural or custom background. How about we start asking open-ended questions, and we might start realizing that we actually are talking a lot about the same things. We just
yes.
have different vocabulary.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I might say prophetic. Someone else might say psychic.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you said that, because what's so important is that we recognize there's so many vocabulary words to choose from, and we may choose one that is misunderstood by ourselves. So if it's misunderstood by ourselves, then it's going to be miscommunicated. So as you were saying earlier, Tani, the beauty of poetry is that there's almost like an arrow that's pointing to the meaning of the message. When
yes.
you can go down to the more succinct language of poetry, which is the language of poetry is beauty.
Absolutely. And I think what you see in these kids and these people who might have autism or express themselves in a bit of a different way or see things in a different perspective is I think that you see a real lack of ego
mm-hmm.
or any ill-intended motives. There's such an openness for love and for seeing the best in others.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us, please, Tani, any of the things that Josiah may be sharing with you and with your husband about the current state of our world? As I see myself, it's like we have to be in the midst of all of this chaos because we cannot hide from what has been hidden. So we're someone who is an angry or a challenged or a violent individual that is in need of healing.
Mm-hmm.
and so is there any things that pearls of wisdom that Josiah has been able to share about what we're currently going through in our mm-hmm. historical growth as human species?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that is so interesting to me is, you know, we see things so black and white sometimes, and, you know, and left and right and you know, whatever. One of the things during the tumultuous political season, and that continues to go on, but Josiah, we had a debate or something on back before the elections, and Josiah wanted to write to me about it, and he said, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said something like, politics is a lot like trying to hang a gate on a wall instead of a hinge at a gap. It's just decoration then.
Mm.
So in the meantime, we talk all about this stuff and as if politics is like, okay, we're going to close a gap. In the meantime, we leave our real gaps open.
Yes.
And are we actually addressing the real problems? Are we just putting a gate on a wall? And one of the things that Josiah also, you know, will talk a lot about, like, one of my favorite lines of his is, love is kind, not complicated.
Isn't that true?
Love is kind, not complicated. And one of the things, too, that he had written, I often have to look up words, or I often find myself going on a bunny trail to expound upon what was this springboard. And then, you know, you talked about things turning up, like, and then it, a person intersects your life here, and then you see that sign, and then you see that. I've come to know that that's actually has a word, synchronicity.
Yes.
which, you know, a person starts having line up. But one of the things that he wrote was, God so loved the Pangea. And I'm like, Pangea. I know I've heard that word, but what does that mean? What does that mean? And I think it was such a beautiful picture, because when I looked that up, the Pangea means what all the continents as a landmass were before they broke apart.
Oh, yes.
And were made into different continents. Mm. And, you know, there's a scripture that says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
But this idea that God so loved the Pangea means that he loves without the borders.
Mm.
He loves without all of the lines that we draw.
Isn't that beautiful?
And he sees all the people on the earth and has so much love for them. And Josiah absolutely communicates that love in almost everything that he writes. Love and joy and hope and holding on and being so personal with us. One of the things that he wrote just recently was, hold the story of grace in your mouth if roses use ink. You question it, but this is your song hovered over by him. And he talks about how we all have a song that's sung over us. And it is our design, and it is our destiny. And so how do we get in step to walk out our song?
Wow, that is just so beautiful. May I ask, Tani, how can people learn about you? There's a Facebook page you had mentioned. Could you give the name of that Facebook page again, please?
Yep, it's called Josiah's Fire, and that's our most active place to go.
Okay.
We're on there almost every day. And I do have an author page, Tani Cullen, TaHniCullen. And also josiahsfire.com will get you links to, you know, where to purchase the book.
Good.
And I'm actually working on a second book right now.
Good for you. I was just going to ask you.
Josiah's Invitation.
Oh, beautiful.
And it really will talk a lot about, you know, the things that we talked about, and we have way more stories to share. And we're at the 10-year mark of this journey.
Well, I'd love to have
so
you back
many
on.
Things.
I'd love to have you back on when that comes out. If you,
yes.
That would be great. Do you have any idea when that will be coming out? Or
just... next, probably December.
Okay.
December.
Great, mm-hmm. Great. And so, what are the things that have just? I know that there's countless. I mean, every word he types has to just be so awe-inspiring to you. But how are you helping, would you say, or how is Josiah's deep communication helping to relieve the anxiety of people that have children, in particular with autism, so that they can see their child in there?
Oh, that's a really great point. I thought I was writing this book for parents who have kids with autism. And honestly, I thought that would be the greatest audience. It's actually a fraction of the audience. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that it's reaching some of those folks. But on a wider scale, you don't even have to have autism as, you know, your quote-unquote issue to gain something here that is common to all of us. We all face limitations. We all face, you know, feelings of lack and worry and fear and, you know, wondering if we are loved and wondering what happens with, you know, our loved ones. after they die, and where is God in all of this, and all the suffering, and the wrestling, and all of that. And I think that there's an edge of authenticity with it. And so it connects with people that want to live authentically and want to face some of these issues and say, we can actually get on the other side of this. Not necessarily that autism is going to be gone or that that issue is going to be completely gone out of our lives, but how can we actually live beyond the label?
Yes.
How can we actually live beyond the illness and get in step with what is a much grander view of the beauty of life?
Yes.
And with that, things begin to open up. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that we don't have so much pain, but part of it, and I hope that that's what happens when people read the book, and I know that people have shared that with me, if they appreciate that I'm just real about all the stuff, it's hard, it's sad, it's complicated, it's painful. And there is something, too, about the fact that there is a God to be in awe of. There is mystery that we don't have the answers for right now. And how do we just keep walking out our lives in a way that blesses other people and that we ourselves are also enriched? And one of the things that I want, and what I've heard from special ed teachers and paras and people working with these kids with autism, is they are treating them differently because they start realizing, wait, this isn't just about communicating some curriculum to them or checking off the list of what we need to do. They have dreams inside of them.
Yes.
They have thoughts inside of them. They have an identity and a personality, even if they can't show it visibly to us. So they're just treating them differently, and the kids are responding. And it's such a delight to hear those stories communicated back to us. Mm.
If we only learned to change our words, and instead of identifying someone as disabled, if we really looked at the fact that by labeling someone that, we are dissing their abilities instead of encouraging their abilities. We need to change our language because it's
that is so true. Even the label nonverbal, I heard somebody describe their child as pre-verbal. And I was like, I like that, because you know what? That leaves possibility open.
Mm-hmm. And we make the assumption that verbal is only auditory. He is certainly verbalizing complex, beautiful, deep wisdom that is beyond what most people are capable of communicating audibly.
Yes.
Wow. So how is Josiah today? How is he doing now as a 12-year-old boy?
he's a pretty awesome guy. It's amazing how they shoot up so fast range here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as he began to experience kind of some early puberty and stuff like that, it came with a new season of, you know, kind of more sensory problems. And there were some gains that we had made, like being able to go different places in public and him be comfortable with it, to him having difficulty modulating his vocals or being in certain spaces that he had been able to go in before. And, you know, having to wear headphones and, you know, all of these different things. So it's been a challenging year. The past year has been challenging, especially with hormones and all that kind of stuff.
Of course.
And so, you know, I've really realized that there are seasons that we just keep entering into that we need to relearn again, and we need to learn for the first time. And so, you know, things are looking a lot better right now. And he's you know, doing good in school. He has a great team around him. And they teach him things and spend time on things that allow me to spend more time on the communication part.
Mm.
And, you know, we have a huge amount of things that we have to address, but I really started realizing I need to really look at his strengths and work out from that instead of be overwhelmed by all the weaknesses.
Yeah, it would be really interesting. How does Josiah communicate with other children with autism? Is there a different language that they're using? Are they able to communicate effectively with one another, he
has talked about this before, where they actually have ability to communicate without words.
Yes, telepathically.
To each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is interesting, but we actually went to a camp this last summer, and for the first time, he got to have a social with two other boys that had learned to communicate in the same way. So they're sitting there, all three mm-hmm. together. And he was on his iPad. They had just the letter board. And that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. They were just encouraging one another. And one kid wrote out, autism is hard, but because of Jesus, we're all champions.
Oh, how beautiful.
And so they are cheering each other on for sure.
That's beautiful. Tani, this hour has gone by so darn fast. I want to thank you so much for your beautiful book, for your life, for you choosing to be Josiah's mama and him choosing you as his mama and his daddy too. And so beautifully that you are so able to, with enthusiasm, with love, and with honesty, to talk about these things that seemingly are challenges, but really challenge us to wake up to what God has given us. So if with your permission, I'd like to stay in touch with you.
Absolutely. Okay. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Absolutely. And again, josiahsfire.com, J-O-S-I-A-H-S fire.com is one of the websites. Josiah's Fire also on Facebook. His mom, Tani Cullen, puts out his beautiful texts and what he's saying, these profound bits of information for us all to really look at the depths of our lives. I can't thank you enough for your time today, Tani, and thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is Elaine Grohman on Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. This example today of this conversation with Tani Cullen is what life is about. We need to learn how to empower ourselves so that we no longer foolishly disempower ourselves. Thank you so much, Tani, and thank you for us, and give your sweet boy a hug for us all.
Will do. Blessings.
Thank you. Bye-bye.